And what we ideally hope to do here is the person who is handling the topic, for example, the topic of pornography, does not necessarily mean yet. We have pornography, and I have eaten more collection. So whatever I might share is not necessarily out of experience, but whatever confidence I may have to share about such a topic should come from God's word. And that's the only confidence I have. So I'm not in any way an expert in pornography, so you know. So don't start sending me text saying, so I think that's really important for us. Before we start, I want to share, not necessarily a quote, but it's something that I found really interesting. There's an old man who actually died. His name was Jonathan Edwards. And Jonathan Edwards, actually in my presentation, I'll quote him at the end. Should be at the age of 17, 18, before he was 20. He sat down and he made resolutions. If you're not my resolutions, so things you hope to do at the start of the year are resolutions. Now, for Jonathan Edwards, he wrote 70 resolutions, not just for 1 year, but for the rest of his entire life course. And one of the things I would recommend you to look out for those resolutions. There are 70, I think. One of the best I think I find there is he says, as a young man, he always met people in their old age. Okay? And in their old age, they would tell him things they wished they had done when they were still young. Because usually with what Shariwamuka, there is a deception that we are not going to get what old at some point. But we are actually working towards that old age. And he says, he realizes that when you go somewhere, Bomuza, so which is our call and Shari, as Kugamba, na hila tazi kugamba nga mchi, na mstani, tazi kugamba na inga wakula kanyati. Ingachi alikisogo kateyari kukoleji, teyari kukoleji. So if he had an opportunity to live life again, there are things he would never have done, or she would never have done. And for him, when he realized that, he said, I am going to live my life in such a way that when I get old, I do not have things that I wish I had done better, or things I wish I would not have done. What that means is that he deliberately chose not to do certain things, which he thought he would find as points of regret when he is at his old age. So, why do I share that? Because in Tije Turimu, I think there's that song that we hear. The world is not our. The world is really not our home. Because it's not our home, the people who think it's their home want to make us comfortable in this place. But when you realize the world is not your home, then you realize there are very many enemies also. So at our age, one of the best, not best, but one of the greatest challenges we have is the issue of pornography. Now, if I asked any of you to raise up your hand and at least share with us your first pornographic experience, who would be willing to say, I can share mine? Or who has watched pornography before? Like, who has watched pornography before? See the delay in putting up the hand, eh? Come on. You don't want me to ask now what exactly you put your hand eyes on. Now the fact that many people shy away from sharing interacting with pornography does not necessarily mean that people do not watch pornography. But the reason they hide it, or we hide it from people, is simply because you know it is wrong. Right? It is wrong, but you still do watch it. You get it. Now, it would be wrong of us if we grow and still try to hide the reality that there exists pornography in the first place. And then in the second place, it's not okay to watch it. But even when we realize it's not okay, we still do watch it. Or we may not necessarily watch it, but we have people who watch it. So that's sort of the tone that I want us to go with as we look at this topic of pornography. Now, where does this really start from? Usually when you go and have discussions on pornography, what people usually do is they give you a list of do's and don'ts. So they tell you, what all our pornography? Okay, I'll follow, you know, So it starts with the do's and the don'ts. Now that's not necessarily a bad thing to get. But then, when they tell you don't do this or do this, they've just given you a lesser level, because it's not the best solution to the problem. Unless all of you don't believe that pornography is a problem. Is pornography a problem? But if we all agree pornography is a problem, then we need to find a lasting solution to the problem, which is not going to only help us, but to help everyone that we can come in touch with or interact with. But also, there is also the reality of the fact that at some point, you and I will desire to get married, isn't it? And that desire is not a bad desire, because God created it, right? But then, most of the challenges you will face in your marriage, eventually when you get married, is if you've consumed a lot of pornography, it's going to affect your marriage, like it or. So you're not only preparing your life or your mind for purity, you're also preparing yourself for the suffering issues of what? Of marriage. So we want to see a bigger picture as opposed to a low level of do's and don'ts. So where do we start from? We start from the reality that you and I were created by, right? Now God the Creator only gave us two relationships in life. What are those? There are just two major relationships in life. What are those? Say what? Very good. Relationship with what? God and relationship with fellow men. What people call the vertical and the horizontal relationships. The vertical being the relationship between us and God, and the horizontal being the relationship between you and fellow men. And the greatest commandment says what? Who knows what the greatest commandment? Greatest commandment. I think it's twofold, right? It captures both relationships. It captures the relationship with God and the relationship with people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then the other one, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? So those are two major relationships. So the first one, which is the most important one, is our relationship with what? So the standard we have is not the relationship between just us, but the greatest standard is the relationship between what? God. So you cannot relate, like your neighbors, and your neighbors includes your father, your mother, your sisters, your brother, your enemies, and your classmates, and your co-students. You get anyone else is your neighbor, right? So, those two major relationships come from God. So, why am I bringing this? It's because the issue of pornography has not come as a problem between me and sinning against what? When you sin with her, you actually fail in the first relationship, which is the relationship between you and what? And God. Yes. So, to bring it home for you, here is the thing. We all have fathers, right? Isn't it? And, well, we've all been in places where there are fathers, right? And when a father gives a command, home, if you love your father, you follow that what? That command, right? When you fail to follow that command, then there's no way you can say you love your father. And that is why God says in His word, if you love me, you will keep my. So God has given us commandments. And He's not only given us commandments relating to Him, but commandments relating to each other, right? And if you know the Ten Commandments, what do the first four do? The Ten Commandments are broken in two parts, right? So the first four, what we are supposed to do between us and who? And God. Then the last six, do not commit adultery, do not murder and everything, relates to us and fellow human beings. So the standard then is God. So what we are going to do is simple, so that we are all participating. There are verses in the presentation I have. So what we do, we went up and spin a verse between the summer. We'll go like this. So if there is a verse I say we need to read, she will read first. There's the next one you will read, like that. So the first one I want us to read is Luke 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Which is what we've been trying to watch.
Luke 10, verse 27. And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And your neighbor as your soul.
So you see, that's in reference to where we started from. That is what God commands us to do. To love our neighbors as we love our. So you might be wondering, why will we put that gun down in front of us? We'll get there, right? We'll get there. So like I've already mentioned, pornography is a topic that no one wants to talk about, more especially the church. Because the general understanding is that in the church, there are things you're not supposed to talk about, right? Because in the church, that is where you find people who love what? God, isn't it? So in the church, why would you talk about okubba? It's sort of like, so, even in the church, people do not want to talk about pornography because the misconception is that pornography cannot thrive in the church. But unfortunately, there's a lot of church leaders who feed on pornography, deacons, elders, and pastors. A lot of people are suffering with that pornography. And if church leaders imagine church leaders, pastors, elders, people struggle with what they have. At if I watch it, so that means it's a big one. It's a big problem. So Uganda, we believe is a Christian nation, right? Well, many people think it. Majority of the people you meet in Uganda say they are what? Christians, right? But then, unfortunately, it has registered quite a number of cases of pornography actors. And these are youths who are in secondary schools, colleges, and universities. Either you are in college, university, or secondary school, right? Or we are moving towards that. So, how would you personally define pornography? We all know pornography, right? How would you define it?
So, Sandra, kind of
pornography. What would be your definition? You're now one Uganda, one Muslim. Uganda is the Gambo Play, this way. What's my definition here? How would you define it? One, it is the depiction of erotic behavior, as in pictures or writing, intended to cause sexual excitement. So that is one definition of pornography. It is to show pictures or writing that bring sexual excitement to someone. That's pornography. Two, material such as books or a photograph that shows erotic behavior and is intended to cause sexual excitement. So it could be videos, pictures, or writings, yes, that increase your drive for sexual excitement. Number three is the depiction of act in a sensational manner so as to arouse a quick, intense emotional reaction. So those are the simple definitions I have of pornography. But at the heart of both the three, what we realize is foundation or what the common denominator is, that it's anything that causes sexual excitement in someone. So highly likely, if you've watched pornography, the most obvious thing you've heard is that there's been sexual arousal in you. Right? Is that true? I want to have right definition. For those of you who had an interaction with pornography, the highly likely possibility is that you're going to have sexual excitement. Right? But that's true, right? That's what happened. So the Bible does not specifically address the issue of viewing pornography. There's not a place you're going to open your Bible and it says pornography, right? But since it didn't really exist at the time and the books of the Bible were written, so does that mean that it is allowable as a freedom in Christ? So can we discern a clear moral teaching based upon what the Bible teaches about other sexual sins? So that's a question. So there's a very good statement here. It says Christianity is not just about avoiding sinful physical acts. Second, Christianity is not just about avoiding sinful physical acts. You get it. but it is also about mental purity. So the idea did not begin with Christianity, of having a mental, a pure mind. It actually comes from the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments, so the next person can read Exodus 17. Exodus chapter 17. So Christianity does not address the act, it addresses what's in the act. So that's why Christ says, when you lust over a woman, you're actually equivalent to the person who actually physically done the what? The act. So when we come here to talk about pornography, when you go back, you should not tower mungalo simply because you don't get to that screen of yours and fail to watch pornography. Second, that is not the success you want to register. The success you want to register is the ability not to even think about the pornography. Second, so you are guilty as someone who's watched physically if you have a desire in your heart for the same. Second, so the problem is not necessarily just you not watching. The So if you have that already in you, there is a desire, and maybe it's your community around you that is sort of holding you not to watch. You're almost as equivalent to the people who do what? Watch. But also in the book of Romans, the Bible says, those who are not, it's not only those who are guilty, but also those who support. Second, so with pornography, when you say that Katanza Sira Babalabachi, but then go out of faith, and the Katatskolachi, the Bible says you are equally what? Because you're promoting or you are advocating for what God calls sin. Kirimbo ringa ba, Mugamba, Abbe, Katanza Tari Mukuba Vyachi. So what is the goal of pornography? What is the idea behind pornography? If you remember definitions, you can answer this question. What is the goal? What is the intent of pornography? Kale, what do you think people who produce pornography are targeting? That's one. Thank you. So the goal of pornography is to elicit, to bring about lustful desires, which makes the consumption a form of sin. Second, so there is the next verse is James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, 12:13. chapter 1? There is that verse, anyone who can find it, in James, that talks about, you know, that when you came to the school, you still did it. See, that's the progression of sin and what it eventually leads to. So the intent or the goal of pornography is to arouse the what? The sexual desire, which is in and of itself sinful. But then it will bring you to an act, which is also sinful. So the protection then we have for each other is not to allow us to even get to those something that is going to bring about the sexual arousement in our bodies. Second. So that's the progress of the sin. And it is the same for pornography. So, my next heading then here is the vanity of pornography. Or in other words, the emptiness of what? Pornography. So one, the very first one, the fact that pornography are mere images that offer none. You get it. Pornography is one of those things that promises a lot but offers what? Nothing. Because ideally, what you have with pornography is you're not having a physical interaction with anyone. But all that you're doing is what you conceptualize in what? In your head. At the end of the day, whoever feels satisfied after watching pornography. On the contrary, what happens is after you've watched, you want to watch what? It promises, but it's not bringing you to a satisfaction that it has promised to what? To offer. So when you know, for people who do business, for solo for a business, in our Gambia, you never take a move at the dinner. Talking of Namu at the government, maybe would you still invest in that business? So that's the same thing with pornography. Now, the reason we want to know all these things is because temptation is everywhere for all of us. Second, so no one is in a better place. Yes, it seems to be very okay. It's highly unlikely you're going to be tempted to watch pornography in such a what? A setup. But each time you are in a place when pornography is presenting itself, you should remember this line, that pornography are just mere what? Images that are not going to offer you anything. So this is the reason most people are shy about even sharing their desire with other people, because they know it is of no value at all. Second, how many times have you met someone or a friend of yours, Nagamba, the name was Rokua? Because everyone realizes that after watching, bino bien funye, tevina muchi, mugasa. Tewa yibwe vijena kolachi, mugasa. So wherever tevina bwe vijasa, now it means you got to kolachi, tevigasa. So it's just mere images that are not going to offer you anything. So that's one principle that we also need to learn as believers and as Christians. pornography is not going to offer you. But then the other thing you need to know is its production, the production of pornography. So the next verse we have is 2 Peter 2, verse 2. Who is next in line? They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. What does it mean to be insatiable? An ongoing desire that cannot be fulfilled, but continues to want something. Insatiable for sin, they entice and train soul. They have had strength in what? In greed that has to be. So what is he talking about? There are people who say you have already committed to entice as many people as they can to fall into what? Sin. Yembo luzuku kagamba, they don't end up with phone and I want to second. So that is why when you hold this phone, there's plenty of information you can look for in a kubula. But the easiest information you can quickly, like just by clicking something, you can easily get it from the ground. You get it. So it is just a click what? Click away. Pornography is just a click what? Away. And it is massively produced. I don't want to read you the statistics because they may be like out of place. But I think the production of pornography makes a whole lot of money than even mega supermarket. Mega supermarket should be your money. That's a good one. But the point here is that there is lots of money in what? People who produce pornography make lots and lots of money. Unfortunately, I need to carry my laptop, but there was a pastor, not really a pastor, he's a church leader, not necessarily a pastor. He was a married man, hope he still is. And he got tempted to watch pornography. Like he was working on his own computer, and then you know those ads that come. And there's another deception about pornography, Uganda. Since the warning of one who been doing the best for us, that will still work well, and now we're going to be a college. So, Yo! Every other time, Tarawa again the matter of pornography. Now, unfortunately, he in the process also realized that it's a lucrative business. So, what he did, he also started recruiting young girls. Now, this is a church leader. But for the, you see how one thing leads to another thing? So, he watched pornography. From watching pornography, he had to be lying to the wife because the wife didn't know what he was doing. And then he is also recruiting young girls, filming and producing and telling the pornography he was shooting. And he did that for like 3 years behind his wife's back. So he was like, I enjoy the pornography. What more to be paid to actually enjoy and be paid what I actually love? So he did that for 3 full years before God convicted him of what he was doing. But by the time he was done, his family was already what? Ruined. Because what happened is that he replaced the satisfaction he was supposed to get from the wife with what? Pornography, which was actually not providing anything good at the end of the what? Of the day. Now, how is it related to what I've just read? Is that there are plenty of other men like him who are committed to sell or to give you the pornography for what? For free. Because they do not care about you. So, take it. Now, it seems like a far-fetched thought for us who are here. But this thing is happening in schools, I guess. Now, not only people watching, but even recruiting girls to do the same. Now, this is a warning for the young girls that have another one. There are men who are recruiting girls to do the same. Because there are people who classify pornography. There is that for the black people, there is that for the white, and it has different consumers. So, it's a bit out against the Mishomero. I was such a white young about watching. Same. You're getting paid, and you're getting your life away. So, this is a possibility. And I have a sister who told me something of this nature is happening at Uganda Christian University. So what they do is they send very beautiful girls to the university. And the beautiful girls make it easy for the poor boys at university to get them. So these boys get into the relationship with these beautiful young girls, and the young girls are recruiting them. And because they get used to the process, and they are also poor, so they get paid, and then they do this stuff. So those very people are in our city at the same time. So means also here. That's why you need to have your guard out. But not only to watch, but to avoid even being part of who are in other people's sins, when you remember who you are sinning at against. The same God is going to judge your actions. So the standard kill, do not set upon spiritual opposing, but always remember the standard, and the standard is good. So that's one point. So that covers my next part, the promotion. Pornography is almost everywhere. I think back then, it was hard to get pornography, right? You really had to be deliberate to get it. It would be in trouble. I think a lot of people come to life, but you know where I'm on my intersection with college. But now, with us now, it's what? It's everywhere. Now, the other problem we have is there's that thing that they say, when you over-repeat a lie, it becomes a truth, in a sense, I guess. So, the more the society is getting bad, the more people are actually getting used to certain things. And among them, remember, we say the reason behind pornography is to elicit sexual desires, I guess. Now, that's a good line. So when you are a girl and you wear a certain way that is going to elicit sexual desire in another man, are you different from the one who plays the pornography and gets paid? Obviously, what? So anything you do, even as a man, anything you say or do that is going to elicit sexual desire with someone who is not your wife, that is almost similar to what? So you're equally what? Guilty. So to God, I'm a man, I'm a child, I'm a baby. I'm a young man, I'm a ship. That's that. Then the next point I have here is pretending. Pornography promises a lot, however, it is nothing more than inanimate paper, lifeless pictures, rainy videos, and it can get sex workers. That's all. So, many people feel that pornography is a sickness. You get it. These days, when you want to lessen sin, you make it sickness. You get it. So, People are sympathetic with you, but they are not telling you Israel. Same, I guess. So in the one it's a young one at one back from Sebu, but you're not telling them that he is what? Sin. So pornography is actually not a sickness. It is a sin. And there are those that are slaves to this sin. And if any of us here is actually a slave to this sin, it's not the end for you. But the problem, it can be an end for you if you choose to continue calling it a sickness or a weakness you what you have. If you do not face it as a sin and it remains at the level of sickness, then you're not helping you. So habitual pornographic sessions will only lead to more addictions. The lust is never satisfied. So the more you watch, the more you watch, you get food. What you feed will grow, what you decide not to feed will not what? Grow. So don't even buy into the lines. Kanda weko kachi. Akadono kawa kange na kufu kachi. So then don't buy into that line. Now, how is pornography then a dangerous thing? We are going to see the things that are bad about pornography. But we can read our next verse. So in that list, what is Christ addressing, or what is the Bible addressing? The problem is not necessarily you not what. The problem is your, is a heart problem. That's why we are not addressing pornography as a sickness. We are addressing it from the very root of itself, which is the sexual immorality, which the Bible tells us comes from the what? So pornography is sexual immorality, right? And its source is your what? So in other words, when you read verse 20, it is saying, these are what defile the what? The person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile what? Anyway, in other words, you not watching the pornography does not mean you are not what? Guilty. As long as there is sexual immorality that is hovering in your heart, you're equally as guilty as the one who gets to watch the pornography. Same problem. So we are seeing how bad it is. And I hope you're able to appreciate this TV so you can deal away with what it is. So currently what we are doing is Towero was a coach with Ka. They are friends that you live with rather than sisters who are struggling with this what? Problem. So when you know how bad it is, you're able to also share the same with what? With them. That's why it's important that it's bad. And the Bible says sin. So it destroys your senses. The next slide, we are reading Habakkuk 2:15. Habakkuk 2:15. well, you can say he was talking about drinking and other people making others to drink. So they spoil them to a point of stupor that they look at their nakedness. What do you do with pornography? You're looking at what? Naked people, right? You're looking at images of people who are naked. And you know what's happening now? It's even published in newspapers. Someone is completely what? Now, this one is saying what to those people who do what? Who do that. But it could be what to you as well, who avails your phone to a friend, and you don't care what they watch. For you, who is okay eventually when you get your children and freely gives them this thing, knowing that there are people who are determined to ruin their souls without care, ugama. Obera ni kasi kisa kuwa, waka kaizo kozi za smartphone, kozi yetu, waka brother kwa mazega kolachi. But you know, the moment they get to YouTube, what is most presented is what? Pornography. And these children, or even you yourself, are going to watch and look at naked. The Bible doesn't have kind words for any of you without that. So through pornography, you slowly cross boundaries and drift over line. It leads to this decreased judgment, discernment, and vision, which causes severe stress on family, friends, and your work environment. Now, most people who are addicted to pornography have very poor work ethics. You get it? Because they have an addiction, they can't concentrate on what? On what? So, msanga ino kuwanga kola na inga likasi mute alaba, but valichi. That's how bad pornography is. And then the other thing is that people who are addicted to pornography also, sort of their reasoning is getting what? So, because, I mean, what wisdom do you collect from seeing naked people? Surely not. So that's how bad pornography is. And also pornography leads to rape, it leads to molestation, and it leads to incest. Because what happens is it arouses a sexual desire in you. You do not have a place of seeking satisfaction for it. What do you do? Highly likely most people are porn addicts. And child molesters and those who practice incest in bondage. So sex between brothers and sisters, the people of the same family. So you're with your brother at home, he watches pornography, he gets the sexual arousal, he loses his mind, and he looks at his very own sister as an instrument to watch for sex. And that's not what. So in the Bible, we find that several sexual acts are forbidden in the Bible. One, the Bible prohibits homosexuality. It prohibits bestiality, sex with animals, and incest. It prohibits fornication, it prohibits adultery, it prohibits rape. But you realize that all these sexual prohibitions in the Bible can come out of pornography. Yes. Because someone has watched pornography, they want their bodies to be sexually satisfied, and they look at the gods, and then they go to the what? The video Maori. Yeah? So someone watches that, and then there's a sexual arousal, and they look at the gods, and they want to get satisfaction from that. We've seen someone, you've heard of uncles who rape the children home, right? Well, then they go, ah, tole kanga uncle, sumaya uncle wa mwami, lekewa. You get all these things come, one of the possibilities, or the reasons they happen, because people are looking at it as what? Pornography. You're arousing sexual desires and the body seeks satisfaction, and it is not getting. So whatever option is available, you run. So you realize that the more you watch, the more closer you get to other kinds of what? Things. Yeah, but most, unfortunately, it also destroys your soul. Proverbs 6:32. It says he who commits adultery lacks what? He does it. He who does it destroys what? So, and remember, Christ's definition of adultery is anyone who lusts after another woman who is not their wife. Right? So, the one who is watching pornography is lusting over a woman on the screen who is not their wife, and eventually they accuse of what? Adultery. The Bible says that person lacks what? Sense. They lack wisdom. And just beyond lacking wisdom or sense, they are also destroying them. Yes. So you realize that people who are actually getting addicted to pornography are digging their own grave. Because they're like, so ideally this is what someone addicted to pornography is doing in their mind. Connecting. So let me go and destroy what? So each time you're taking that step to play that pornographic video, you're literally saying, and if you're more mugu and college, and usually you look down on people who have a tasicho, and I went to watch it, but you're literally doing the same thing when you're watching what? That's how heavy it is. So I will skip that, and let us look at the victims of. So let us read Romans 14. Who are the victims of pornography? Kevin, you're next. Romans 14. Please enough. Okay, well, I will read your way. Say. The point here is that we are not islands, you get. So whatever you do in your life obviously affects someone else. So it's okay, but one way or the other it's also affecting someone. And the first people it affects is your companion. So companion, this is in regards to people who are married. So when you are married and you're watching pornography, it's affecting, or your companion is a victim of your pornography. Because what is happening is that you use and abuse your partner while you fulfill perverted fantasies in your mind. You know what people who are married, who get to watch pornography, what they do is, by now you're already, they want to do what? With their partners. And that they're using them as instruments as opposed to people that should. And most here they call them phone freaks, have increased their isolation from their relationships. Like these people cannot relate properly with people. Together. Each time you're looking at someone, you're thinking how they would actually look like when you're with them. Yeah. So looking at a beautiful lady, instead of seeing them for who they really are, for what God has created them to be, you're looking at them as a sexual. Which is very bad. But that happens when you consume pornography. Your children, that is if you are a father or a mother. Imagine how you would look in your child's face if they saw you watching pornography. Is it something you would recommend them to watch? Obviously not. So it keeps up your children as well. And lastly, let us look at how we can be victors. Can overcome pornography. The victory over pornography. Now, we do not want to be saved in a sense that we are just talking about pornography in a vacuum to Gambia. That's the list of my worries. Thank you. When you do that, your idea is saying that you're strong enough to overcome the temptations of the world, but also the temptations of your own flesh. Because one reality in life is that we are sexual beings, right? We are sexual beings, that's why God instituted the institute of marriage. That is the only place where our sexual desires should be fulfilled. Anywhere it happens and you're not married, you're sinning against what? If you're drawing any sexual satisfaction from a place that is outside marriage, you're sinning against what? God. And that's a warning from God's word. So how do we then become victorious over this? Because we've all acknowledged it's a problem, right? It's easy for us to actually watch pornography because why? We are sexual beings. We want to draw satisfaction from that energy. The first one, how do we overcome pornography? One, repent. Because we say pornography is a sin. And what does the Bible tell us about every other sin? Repent. Now repentance, that means you've been doing this, or you've not been watching, but you've been supporting the rest who are watching. Or you've not been watching, but you've been having that desire also to do what? So you've been sinning, and you need to repent. To repent is to turn away from it. So here it says, you never know how deep your addiction runs until you try to stop. Say it. So you never know how much you love eating sweets until you stop eating them, right? Yes. You never know how much you love watching TV until electricity goes. Or when you are buying TV, then you get. So you never know how deep something is seated in your heart until it what? Goes. So if you want to see how addicted you are to pornography, stop what? So the Bible is not telling you to continue watching or watch less, because what people do is that the Bible says just watch. So watch less. So the cycle obviously is, and the deception we can have, or we can deceive ourselves that if you've been addicted, you're constantly going to suggest what? So maybe one time, one day, you might say what? Go back. So the cycle that I told you last year is that the cycle is repent, confess, and then there will be forgiveness. You know? Because remember the relationship we started with, relationship with what? With God, and we understand this is a gracious and merciful God. So you repent and confess and you seek for forgiveness. God. So that's the problem with some porn addicts, is they leave you denied. So you cannot get help if you do not want to be helped. To end of down, or if you have a kidnapped to the zero, so you don't go to people to talk to them about the problem. Or you don't go to God to talk to him about the problem. So you need to confess that. Now, there's a very beautiful thing that you find in the Bible. Huh? If you read your Bible well, it doesn't just tell us to stop something. It actually tells us to stop something, but at the same time do something. To say it. So, when the Bible tells you stop the sin, you must replace it with something else. You get it. So if you've been sinning in a certain way, you don't just stop the sin, but you replace what you've been doing with a righteous act. So if you've been watching pornography before you go to sleep, you're more tempted to watch pornography before you sleep, or what? If you're saying I'm stopping, then don't just stop. Replace that with Bible reading, or replace it with actual prayer. Because when you just stop, there's still a vacuum. Power to the devil. So you need to replace it with a righteous act. So you don't just repent and just stop watching or feeding on pornography. You replace. So you stop and replace. And that is what repentance actually does. You don't just turn away from your sin. You turn away from the sin and turn to Christ. Say again. So you don't just say, ah, the sin in here, make a imagine, and then it's not repentance if you're not repenting from something to Christ. So remember that what you feed grows and what you starve dies. If you plant something in the garden, when you water it, it what? When you starve it with water, if it doesn't rain, it what? It dies. So when you starve the insertion of desire for pornography, yes, you don't keep watering it. Yes. You keep it with a righteous act. Prayer or Bible. So you must replace pornography with prayer or godly songs or meeting up with church members more. So conclusion as I talk. So feel free after I'm done here to ask questions in the last few minutes we have. So my conclusion here is that pornography is a big problem in the Christian church. There's lots of Christians who are born addicted. And I think there are people who are skeptics to our Christianity who use this to deny Christianity. Because they say Christianity is for hypocrites. Okay? They'll say pornography is bad, but then when you fall on the internet, the greatest consumers of pornography are Christians. So and that's the reality. So do you realize that you're continuous? Because like it or not, when you watch pornography, Indolo was a teja flower, but people will eventually do what? And some of those are people who hate Christianity. And they are looking for an opportunity to say, well, I love it. They're hypocrites. They will say, so it's just like me now. After saying all this about Christianity or about pornography, you find me, you come and check my search engine in the history, and what I watch most is what? What will you think about me? Hypocrisy, right? And that's how Christ's name is being tarnished outside there, because the statistics continuously show that Christians are the greatest consumers of what? Pornography. So don't add to the statistics. One of the greatest temptations we have is in schools. Segregate. So you are in a room or you are in an environment and you're the only Christian and people are watching what? Pornography. It's highly likely you will also start watching. And when you watch with them, you also are finding that what they are doing is what? Right. So there was still a hypocrisy then in you as a Christian. So you don't join. So the last verse I want us to read, so not the last, but a few. Now these ones, let's not read, but you can read them. I will only choose one. These ones you can read later, because of time. Romans 12:2 tells us not to be conformed to the world. You can write that one down. And then when you go back, you can also read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 20. Talks about us fleeing sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 20. Talks about us fleeing sexual immorality. So, lastly, I want to read you these quotes. I think when I was starting, I told you about Jonathan Edwards. Whom would you do? So the one I last read was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 to 20. So as I started, I think I talked about Jonathan Edwards and I talked about his resolutions. So I'll read you two of these resolutions among the seven that will help you as a young woman or a youth, at this stage in life, not to have regrets eventually when you are 70 or 60 or 50. And I think I like this too. Again, when you make a resolution, you're saying, I am doing this. I think we've all lived resolutions, right? Somewhere, somehow, you may not have been deliberate about it, but that's exactly what you did. That is a resolution, isn't it? So he made a resolution and he said, and this is a resolution I think said among the children, he said, resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Yagamba, he will never do anything which he would be afraid to do if he knew that was the last hour of his life. That is resolution 7 of the 7 resolutions of Jonathan. So, how does it relate to the pornography? He said, each time I sit or each time I am going to do something, and I think to myself that this could be the last hour of what? Of my life. If I find that it is not worthy to be something to be done in the last hour of your life, you choose not to do it. So would you choose to watch pornography in the last hour of your life? Who would? So, you can copy this resolution and say, and this can apply basically to all other things, not just what? Pornography. Like you said, if I think about it before I do it and realize and think, if it's going to be my last hour, would I still do this? If no, then I won't. So I'll read it one more time. Resolves. Never to do anything, including pornography, which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. And the last one I want to read is Resolution 19. It says, resolves never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if I expected it would not be above an hour before I should hear the last trumpet. So in other words, Christ is going to return, right? How do we know he's returning? He told us there will be trumpets. There will be trumpets that will blow. And he says, if I know